In a world where everyone can be so judgmental, this podcast takes the time to analyze daily dilemmas and controversies and provide unbiased information and research to help you make sense of life's complicated issues. Dr. Nikki is a clinical neuropsychologist who integrates her knowledge of psychology, neuropsychology, and culture to process current events and cases in an empathic manner from various perspectives. If you are ready to become more open-minded, come be the critic on our couch.
Good day, everyone. This is Dr. Nikki, and welcome to the Critic's Couch. You know, there's so many things that are going on in our lives right now and in this country, but one of them that clearly stands out and has moved to the forefront the last several years, of course, is racism in this country. I know that's a topic that many of us do not like to talk about, but the reality is that it does exist. It exists everywhere in the world, but here in the United States, I think it's become more, I don't want to say more prominent, but more visible, if you will. We all know all too well what occurred at the beginning of the pandemic. And obviously, I am speaking about George Floyd. As you may recall, he is, or was, I'm sorry, a 46-year-old Black male who in May of 2020 was at a convenience store, and an employee called 911 and told the police that Mr. Floyd had brought cigarettes with a counterfeit $20 bill. 17 minutes later, the first squad arrived to the scene, and at that time, Mr. Floyd was unconscious and pinned beneath three police officers, showing no signs of life. As we all know, Mr. Floyd passed away. The day after Mr. Floyd's death, the police department fired all four of the officers involved. And on May 29th, they were charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter, particularly against Derek Chauvin, who was the officer seen in the video pinning Mr. Floyd to the ground. This particular officer, Mr. Chauvin, was white and kept his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for at least 8 minutes. As you can imagine, or as you are very much aware, this led to a series of protests, which was led by Black Lives Matter. Now, Black Lives Matter was founded in 2013 in response to the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's murder. Those of you who don't recall who Trayvon Martin is, he was a young 17-year-old African-American male who was apparently visiting his relatives at the time that the shooting occurred, which was at sometime in early in the morning, late at night. He was walking home and a neighborhood watch coordinator ended up shooting this young man who was not armed. And that caused protest because this security guard was acquitted for murder charges. So the Black Lives Matter movement really grew out from that case, but it became a global organization, not just here in the U.S., but also in the U.K. and Canada. And the mission really has been to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene in violence inflicted on Black communities by the state and vigilantes. Now, this is taken straight from their website. That's exactly the words that are put on their website stating what their mission is. So the goal and the purpose really is something that was put into place to assist the Black community. Unfortunately, very recently, they are coming under fire for their management of their finances. According to the group's Form 990, first reported by the Associated Press, Black Lives Matter is actually worth nearly $42 million in net assets after spending more than $37 million of the $90 million it previously had on high-end real estate, familiar consultants, grants, and more. So the co-founder is under fire right now for basically spending the money inappropriately. But let's not lose sight of what the purpose is. Because I think it's very easy for people to kind of say, oh, you know, look at that. You know, the money was taken and look what happened. But yes, I'm sure a formal investigation is obviously going on with the IRS, but I want to focus more on what the cause is. And the cause was really to bring to light the racism and injustice that does take place, in particular with the Black Lives Movement, obviously is with African Americans. But this goes on in general. When I mean in general, racism, what is racism actually? We understand it, but really the definition is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed towards a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group. And those are usually minorities. And obviously here in the United States, that's what we're made of here. The last U.S. census shows, of course, that 75% of the population here in the United States is white alone. So of course, Caucasians are still, or I should say white, are still the majority. However, we're talking about 13.4% are classified as African American, and 18.5% are qualified as Hispanic. So, you know, obviously there's many different minority groups here in the U.S., not as heavy representative as Hispanics or African Americans. If we're talking about American Indians, they make a small percentage of 1.3%, which is kind of interesting because history obviously shows us that the true Americans are the Native Americans. And we all know what happened in terms of history when we had individuals attempt to basically eliminate Native Americans. 5.9% in this country will be classified as Asians. So, you know, of course, 75% are white, and the other 25% will be a group, if you will, of various different cultures and ethnicities. Now, when we think of racism, you got to realize that for an individual in a minority group that is dealing with this on a daily basis, it will definitely contribute to stress. Dr. Utsi, who is featured in the American Psychological Association, Dr. Sean Utsi, did a study and tested the sociocultural model, if you will, of stress and coping in a sample of 215 African Americans. Psychological resources such as optimism and ego resilience were modeled as a nested self. And they also looked into supported social resources and cultural resources such as race, pride, religion, etc. Race-related stress was a significantly more powerful risk factor than stressful life events for psychological distress. Just pay attention to that. Basically saying that dealing with racism caused a bigger impact in an individual's life than whatever other stress that they were dealing with. Another very interesting read by Dr. Jules Harrell and Siddiqui Hall, as well as Dr. James Talafiero on the American Journal of Public Health, Physiological Responses to Racism and Discrimination. Now, think about that. It does kind of make sense if you are dealing with daily stressor due to discrimination or racism, that will indeed affect you physically, correct? Any kind of stressors will affect you physically. If you review the article, you will find numerous studies that they went over. In one particular table, it shows that discrimination, self-reports of discrimination related to increased blood pressure. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, not all racism is so overt. And I think that's one of the key things that we need to focus on here. You know, I've been hearing the terminology over and over again, systemic racism or structural racism. And that's one of the key things that I think many Americans need to start understanding much better. You know, racism is not always conscious or explicit or something you can actually see. It is something that it is created by the system that we are in. Now, as I'm saying that, I feel like I'm saying something political. And it really shouldn't be. When we're thinking in terms of things like stress and race, it shouldn't be something political. This should be something humane, correct? Now, listen, I'm not here to preach. I am here to present facts. And if you're not in a minority group, let's say you are in the majority group, you may say, well, this is not really my problem. Well, actually, it is. Because we all live in this country together. And if these issues are not resolved, it's something that impacts all of us and becomes a vicious cycle. Well, what do I mean by that? You live in this country. And as a result, you also have to be able to assist in being part of the solution. If everybody does not have access to healthcare, that means those of us who are getting healthcare are going to find ourselves probably paying a lot more if not everybody has the ability to pay for it. So as usual, I want to give you a challenge. If you haven't already done so, your challenge will be to go to HBO. They have a wonderful, interesting documentary known as Race in the USA. And when I saw it, kind of opened my eyes. And I'm always pretty fascinated. I think that I'm an open-minded person, being Hispanic and female. And yet when I see some of these documentaries and things that have occurred, that are occurring, I'm always kind of blown away and saying, wow, how could I not have seen that? And that's one of the key things I want you to take away from this segment. It does exist. Racism does exist. And it doesn't mean that, okay, if I'm not racist, then everything goes away. No, it's going on around us. And a lot of times it's the system that may be perpetuating. And again, I say that and I keep on thinking, wow, that sounds so political. And I don't consider myself a political person. I am here to talk about the person, the psychological aspect and the cultural aspect. And I think that's really where we need to get back to. It's a matter of understanding each other's cultures and the impact that our current society is having on many different groups, minority and majority. I think one of the key factors that we tend to lose sight of is, you know, if you have a group of individuals that are coming in to your territory, I know this sounds weird, it's important to provide information. And I hope that maybe some of you would take the opportunity to look at that documentary, Race in the USA, which is on HBO. It truly is fascinating and opened my eyes. So thank you again for joining me. This is Dr. Nikki, and I look forward to having you listen to my next episode. Have a blessed day.